Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Awards Daily Podcast. I am contributor Joey Moser. Stephen Karam's The Humans is one of my personal favorite movies of the year. Based on his Tony Award-winning play from 2016, The Humans centers on a family coming together to celebrate Thanksgiving in a lower Manhattan apartment. It seems like a normal affair, but there is so much lurking beneath the surface, and their fears come to light in unexpected ways. Starring Jane Houdyshell, Richard Jenkins, Beanie Feldstein, Amy Schumer, Stephen Yeun, and June Squibb, The Humans will leave its mark on you. When I spoke with Houdyshell and Jenkins together, I asked them what their characters may have been thinking on their way from Scranton, Pennsylvania to New York City. And then I wanted to talk to Houdyshell about what it was like to revisit a role that won her own Tony Award when The Humans made such a splash that year on Broadway. I thought it was fascinating to see an actress come back to a role that won her so much acclaim in the first place. In my brief chat with Karam, I asked about opening up his play and how he may have wanted to go back to some original ideas with the script when transferring it from stage to screen. I know there were some really interesting ghostly elements that he started with when he started writing the script. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe to all of our podcasts here at Awards Daily on your favorite podcast provider. The Humans will be available in theaters and on Showtime on November 24th. Enjoy the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a little obsessed with the movie. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Do you think Eric and Deirdre planned on revealing sort of any troubles when they go visit their daughters?
I think Deirdre very much wanted that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I was also planning to do it.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually wondering, I was like, I wonder what the drive back to Scranton is going to be like. I kept thinking of that ever since I saw the movie. I imagine it's going to be a hard drive.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard drive. But tomorrow's
Okay.
Next year's Thanksgiving.
What's that?
Next year's another Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, it's coming up, yeah. Jane, since you originated the role on Broadway and, you know, you've had some time, you know, away from Deirdre, what was it sort of like to sort of meet her again?
Meeting her again was a comfort. She's someone I knew very well. And who that woman was in the theatrical version of The Humans remained largely the same for the film version of The Humans. What differed, however, for Deirdre was the physical reality of what we were all sharing and the reality of the actors that I was working with were different than the actors I had worked with the play. So, and they were bringing very specific and real, honest, beautiful renderings of human beings that I hadn't met yet. And so my rehearsal process was the same as theirs in that we were all meeting one another kind of on equal footing as actors. Yeah. You know, we were all discovering who we were, who our characters were in relationship to one another's. And so my learning curve didn't feel any steeper, I don't think, than anybody else's in the room. But I did have a learning curve. And that was exciting for me, not to feel like, oh, I'm just going to turn in the same performance that I did on stage. It did more different, actually. And that was, as an actor, that's always to find new and in some cases, I think, deeper truths, because there's something about working in front of a camera, you can bring things down and into a more internal place that can feel more deeply true than what you're doing when you have to share share it in a large space to many human beings rather than a camera that's, you know, 2 feet away from people.
Yeah. Okay. So,
does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, totally. And also, like, as soon as you walk out on stage, you know, you're there with the character until you, you know, end the show. But I guess with editing and stuff of a film, it's completely different. So maybe the start and stop of the energy is completely changed from one to the other. Okay. Richard, I wanted to ask about Eric by himself. We have a lot of moments where he is by himself. I wonder if you think that that is where some loneliness starts to fester with him, maybe a little bit of paranoia, a little bit. I was always, as an audience member, engaged with your character when you were sort of discovering things silently. Like, we start the movie with you, we end the movie with you.
I think, well, what he was thinking about, which is an interesting question because it's one I had, and Stephen didn't answer it for me. I wondered things like, you know, are you really going upstairs to check the football game scores? Mm-hmm. Who's calling at the very end of this movie when your phone rings? Is it spam or is it, you know, I don't know who. But anyway, I made those decisions for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell anybody, nor will I, because I don't, you know, what does they say? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody's not after you. I don't know. Paranoid is a good, never occurred to me. I felt overwhelmed a lot of
times.
I think some of the time of getting away is just, I'm going to explode if I don't get moved somewhere. I can't talk about this anymore. I have to go somewhere else. And it just all, the day did not turn out the way I had hoped. Let me say that. The confession to the daughters couldn't have gone any worse.
Yeah.
Not what I expected, but it kind of is. You know, if you're honest with yourself, what do you expect them to do? You know, I seem fairly cavalier about it, the explanation. I think it's hoping that they will not, that they will take it and show some understanding and look at it from our point of view. And mm-hmm. things are really okay. You don't have to worry about us. We're okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how it turns out. It just turns out. Okay. I think that's probably not even close to answering your question. But it's where I end up in this. It's like, what do I do in this silence? Where is he? What is he thinking of? Why is he? Yeah, I think he just needs to be alone a lot of
it. Yeah. I kind of like that you say that you don't actually know. Like, he says he's going upstairs to check the score on the game, or say he's gonna, like, I'm gonna go check on Richard. We don't actually know if that's what he's going to do. We can maybe see that if he does it on stage, but with a movie, it's completely different. I love that. I love the.
Do score the game, so I have an excuse.
Yeah,
really, what I'm going up there for. Yeah, that's what I always thought. Every time I moved away from the family, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess the last question I wanted to ask both of you is, what was it sort of like to explore this space, like the cavernous, empty apartment, the apartment that is, you know, things are yet to be done with it. Like, you can imagine what Bridget might have plans for this apartment, and it's sort of this ghostly, empty, echoey sort of space. What was it sort of like to film in that space?
That's the beauty of making movies. Mm-hmm. Is that you're put down in this place you're talking about. I mean, this is the apartment, even though it's a soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
We're in an apartment, right?
It was,
you were there. And that's, I always love that about films. You know, it's, mm-hmm. if you're doing a scene in India, well, it's a good chance you'll be in India. You know, I mean, that's not always, but mm-hmm. there is a good and we were in that apartment, you know, we were just in there and it felt really good. In fact, I think our rehearsal period, when we all got to that apartment, mm-hmm. is when the whole thing started to come alive.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was a beautiful design, and the detail was enormously helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the cracks in the wall and the dust in the corners and the schmutz on the outside of the windows, everything was just terrible and beautiful at the same time, because it was so real and believable. But also the dimensions of the physical space were fascinating. The hallways were too narrow. You felt claustrophobic just trying to get out the door, you know, and that was done with great meaning and purpose, you know.
Yeah.
And the door jams were not plumb, you know, everything was, things were skewed. And so nothing felt right in that apartment. Mm-hmm. And for me as a mother of a daughter who's moving in there with a boyfriend we barely know, I mean, it couldn't be more nightmarish.
In a flood, a flood zone.
A flood zone. Lower Manhattan.
In a flood zone.
They're going to be dead in the next big heavy rainstorm. You know, they're going to die. One thing, I knew we were onto something different. Like the second day of shooting, I was down on the floor looking for, you know, I said, you got a caulk here. And Stevens said to the DP, the director of photography, Lowell Crowley, he said, can we shoot this through that glass doorknob?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what's going on here? And he did.
So cool. Everyone's scene changed. I didn't know, like, you know, nothing is accidental in that space. So I love what, how it sort of surrounded everyone, and it felt like everything was just closing in. So I love that about the film. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk. I'm sure you guys have a really busy day. Love the movie. I think it's my favorite movie of the year. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, friends.
Yeah. Trust me, I am already. All right. Have a good day. So I had read that, you know, the initial genesis of The Humans, you had wanted to sort of tell like a thriller story or a ghost sort of story, and you fell in love with the characters that you wrote. And I was curious how you wanted to maybe incorporate a little bit more of the original thought into the film version of it, since it is a different medium.
Well, what's interesting is I don't really think I intended to heighten that that aspect or turn up the volume, but what was kind of surprising to me and exciting is how the medium itself, its strengths are such that some of those elements got amplified, but simply because of what the medium can do. So there are just things that I thought were 100% present in the play that even to my surprise get quietly amplified because the camera can actually direct your attention to precisely in a very controlled manner where everybody's gaze is focused. In a theater, if you're feeling a little uncomfortable or uneasy, or you want to deny that there are even aspects that are a little scary about the play, there are people who watched the Broadway play and said, oh, that's interesting. It's like an hour and a half of light comedy and then it gets scary at the end. It's like, that's weird. Yeah. Why did it get scary? Whereas I always thought from the opening moments of the play, the sort of secret sauce DNA of the thing that was a little bit in love with the psychological thriller or stage thriller genre was all embedded in the thing. But you know, you can kind of pick and choose based on your own likes and dislikes. And I feel like there are moments like that emerged in the telling of the story on film, like even the play is equally obsessed with Jane Houdyshell's relationship, the mother character's relationship to Beanie Feldstein, her daughter.
Yeah.
And the way in which their own limitations and fears, and also like big love for each other, just causes them to constantly butt heads. Like from the daughter's eyes, like nothing, everything the mother does is horrifying. Nothing she does is right. And of course it's because Beanie is 25 and hasn't discovered that she's turning into her, that she is a lot like her mother. That's too hard of a thing to sort of accept. And so it comes out with a lot of like frustration. I think Jane is scared of losing her daughter, the connection, and Kent is doing all the wrong things to try to forge it.
Mm-hmm.
See her clearly. And I feel like in the film, I find myself doing with what feels like almost like a jump scare, because the way I thought to represent that is like, because you can follow a character, wouldn't it be cool if Jane sees like a slit of herself in a mirror, almost can't recognize herself, goes towards this image, swings the door, and on the other side, her daughter is actually coming out of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So there are moments like that where I'm like, I think, and my first film, and not knowing how to, not having directed a film before, let alone executing jump scares, it was just kind of happening because I always felt that was the meat and potatoes of the play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess that also feels like deeply connected to the humor and the pathos and everything in between. It's the thing, the things I love defy genre, or at least blend genres, mostly because I think they're like you and me, they're like people. So they're just, you know, like people that you know really well are hard to, you could try to lock them into one category and they're going to always kind of break out.
They're going to surprise you. They're going to, okay.
Like it or not.
Like it or not. And that's sort of like what family can do. So that's, okay. Well, I think we are out of time, Stephen. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I have been thinking about this movie. I saw it a couple of weeks ago and I've just been constantly thinking about it and I love the play. So thank you so much for taking the time just to chat with me.
Hey, no, I appreciate it. Sorry we had such a quick...
All right.
It's great to
you too. Have a good day.
Yeah.